Are you a problem for the enemy? I'm going to tell you how you can know if you are. If nothing ever goes wrong in your life and you never burn the toast, if everything is so nice and neat and orderly and you never face any kind of resistance, it means that the devil isn't threatened by you at all. And here's how I know that from the text, because again, we often perceive that the presence of God is proven by the absence of problems, right? Wrong. Couldn't be more untrue. Because when Elisha was giving the word of the Lord to prevent the attack for the people of God, watch what the king did in verse 13. Go find out where he is. The moment that you begin to fulfill the purpose God created you for, the enemy will dispatch special forces. Raise your hand if you had some things happen this year that made you question if God even loved you. Raise your hand. Be honest enough to raise it. I suggest to you, keep it up. I suggest to you that the reason you had some of your problems is because you are such a problem for the darkness because of the light that you carry. Somebody shout, I'm a problem. So let me tell you how you can prove that God is with you, okay? The way that you can prove that God is with you is not by the fact that nothing bad ever happens to you. The proof, my mom used to say, the proof is in the pudding. Well, I found out when it comes to the things of God, the proof is in the problem. How do I know that God is using me and that he has great plans for me? How do I know that God has put a big calling on my life? How do I know that God has something outstanding for my future? I know the size of my calling by the size of my problem. Y'all shout if you've been through something this year. When Elisha started telling the king where to look for the attack, the king of Aram said, you gotta find him. He's a problem. The enemy sent special forces for you this year because you are right on the verge of breaking a generational curse and changing a bloodline. You're a problem for the darkness. You're a problem. He said, go find out where he is, so I can send men and capture him. And the report came back, he's in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. And they went by night and surrounded the city. Now, verse 15 is really what I want to preach. Y'all get ready. You ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Because I only got 12 minutes to preach this, and I'm going to need a little bit of help. Are you ready for verse 15? No, you're not. You can't be, because when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh, no, my Lord. What shall we do? The servant asked. Now, this is something that I need to illustrate. Give me 6 men on the stage real quick, and 6 men that are not very big. The team captain. Yeah, he's too big. He's too big. I need 6 men that are not very big. 6 men that are not very big. And don't be insulted if he chooses you. 6 men that are not very big. 6 men that are not very big. Come on up. 6 men that are not very big. 6 men that are not very big. 6 men that are not very big. I want y'all to form a circle around me and look intimidating, all right? Not too close, just like how the servant woke up, get around me. 6 men that are not too big. 6 men that are not too big. We may need 2 more. Give me 8 men that are not too big. One, two, three, four. Y'all get all around me. Get all around me and look ferocious, like, arr. Look at me like, ah, we're going to kill you. You're that prophet that's been, you know, messing up all over. Come on. This is a problem. Come on, give me all the way around, all the way around. Six men that are not too big, eight men that are not too big. And the servant, I want to show you something. This is going to be so helpful for you to understand what you go through in the next 12 months and in the next 10 years and for as long as God's hand will be on you. The servant woke up, right? And the first thing he saw that morning when he got up, he saw something that he didn't know how to handle. And I think everybody here, personally speaking, has something that they're looking at that they don't know how to handle. It's usually not a military thing. It's a mental thing. So I've got maybe like, I got a decision I don't know how to make. I got bills. I got this. I got that. I got transition. So he's looking around, and he's like, oh, no, my Lord. What shall we do? Now, Elisha is the prophet that would tell the king where the enemy was going to attack. And here's my question. If he knew where the king was going to be attacked, why did he get attacked? Wow. If you have the ability to know when other people are going to be attacked, how can you not see it when you're going to be attacked? Have you ever noticed how easy it is to give other people advice for their marriage, for raising their children? Oh, but mess around and have one of your own, and you will shut your stupid mouth. When it happens to you, and the servant goes, oh no, my Lord, what shall we do? Now watch what Elisha says. Give me the next verse. Put it on the screen, please. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Oh, man, this sounds like great advice. Don't be afraid. Now, these are chariots and horses. These are not, you know, no offense, but this is not you. This is trained Syrian soldiers. And the prophet says, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. James, get me 12 men who are real big. 12 men who are as big as you. Come on, right now. I need 12 really big men. 12 really fierce men. 12 men that are on CrossFit and creatine and protein and TRT and HGH and steroids. Come on, I need 12 big men. And I need you to come here because I'm going to be Elisha. I'm going to be Elisha, and I'm going to stand here in the middle. And I need y'all to come surround me because the Bible says that when Elisha prayed, come on, get real close, get real close. Come on, I don't have any proximity issues. Not that close. Back up a little bit. Come in close as we can get, and I can still have functionality. Come on, get in close. Because Elisha said, don't be afraid. Those who are with us, come on, surround me all the way. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. It not only means we've got more in quantity, but they are greater in strength because those who are with us are more than those who are with them. So I'm going to show you something real quick. So he said, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And then the next verse, verse 17 says, and Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes so that he may see. Okay. Now, watch out. If I'm the servant, I'll be right back. Stay right there. If I'm the servant, I'm thinking that God is about to do something so awesome, and he's going to make all the enemies, the first ones that came to attack, I'm going to close my eyes, and he's going to pray. And when I open my eyes, all the enemies are going to be gone. So y'all leave real quick. Just leave. Just go somewhere. Not the good ones, the bad ones, sir. Yeah. That's what I'm expecting. I open my eyes. Wow, it's a miracle. But come back, 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 come back. Instead, get back in position. Quickly, quickly, it's almost midnight. I gotta show you something. So Elisha's praying, right? He's like, oh Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And he opens his eyes, and what does he see? The same enemy that he saw before the prayer. In fact, go to the next verse, verse 18. As the enemy came toward him. Now, stop. How did Elisha pray and the enemy still came toward him? How did Elisha, the powerful man of God, how did Elisha, who had the word, how did Elisha, the prophet that struck the water, how did Elisha, the successor to Elijah, how did Elisha, who led an entire nation into a time of revival, who could purify the waters of the Jericho, how could Elisha keep praying, but the attack kept coming? Well, the proof of the presence of God is not the absence of problems. The proof of the presence of God is not that the problems disappeared. The proof of the presence of God is that he kept me surrounded, and the enemy came, but he couldn't kill me. The enemy came, depression came, the panic attack came. I could barely catch my breath, but somehow the word of God sustained me through every season of my life. I almost lost my mind. I almost gave up. I almost let go. But there were more for me than against me. And I declare into the darkness of your life, greater is he that is in me. And the proof is in the problem. If God sent you a really big problem, he's about to demonstrate that he's a really big God. I got a really big God. I got a really good God. I got a really faithful Savior. So I got a really great praise. Not because of the absence of problems, but because of the presence of God. Hey. Hey. Stand up. It's 2 minutes and 43 seconds until the next decade of your life. It's 2 minutes and 38 seconds until the next decade of your life. And tomorrow morning when you open your eyes, guess what's still going to be there? Your problems. But guess what's within you? Yeah. Y'all got my back? When I say this, get ready to rejoice. Get ready to rejoice. The bigger the problem, the greater the opportunity for the presence of God. Y'all don't even need me to finish the sentence. You know what I'm saying? The devil sent everything he could to track you down. He put a target on your back. He aimed right at your head. But look at your praise. Look at your purpose. Look at your praise. Look at your God. And I say, I'm gonna put it up to a vote. What say ye, Elevation? Let's stop telling God how big our problem is and start telling our problem, I got an even bigger God. Greater is he. Greater is he. If God be for you, who can be against you?
Hey, thank you for watching. Make sure you subscribe to this channel so you don't miss a single video or live stream. And share this video with a friend. And don't forget, you can join me live every Sunday. Thanks again for watching.